version, Romans 12, chapter 1 and 2. The writer says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I'm going to read from the Message, paraphrase. And it puts it like this, and it's interesting to see how things come from a different perspective. It says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants for you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Lord, today as we gather around your word in the presence of your Holy Spirit, your angels, Lord God, I pray, God, that you would speak to every heart in this place, unveil destiny, and put a cover on history. I pray today that the way that we have been formed, growing up as children, growing up as young people, growing up as the unsaved, unregenerate, dead things that we were, that everything that was imparted into us, everything that was inputted into our minds, into our thinking, into our psyche, into our way of doing things, every single one of those things that does not come into line and alignment with your eternal truth, we serve it notice today. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is living and powerful. Anything else that does not line up with that, your day is done. It's time to relinquish, release, let go every mind, every memory, intellectual capacity, emotional desires, and the will of every single person in this place. And that we pray, oh God, and we believe that by the end of this service, for most, if not all, there will be a release of freedom, of a new level of perception and understanding and relationship with you, that there would be a greater vision, greater maturity, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of your works and every one of your lies, the Lord rebuke you. Power is broken, deadened, stopped. Be muzzled, be still, go away in Jesus' name. This is holy ground. Holy things are going to take place. In the name of Jesus. Now we're going to do something before we sit down. We're going to thank God for what He's about to do even before He does it. Come on, lift up your hands, start to thank Him. He's going to show you something while you thank Him. He's going to show you what He's going to do while you thank Him. In fact, He might even do it while you're thanking Him. It might even fall away. It might even change. It might even melt. It might even get pulled down right now, right in the presence of God, thanking Him for the change to come. Might be a release. Might be something that moves, shifts. It's taken out of the way. A new mindset, new vision. Thank you, Lord. There is an atmosphere that we enter into sometimes in our corporate gatherings when faith becomes a fact. You just, you know, you're believing for something and then you know it's done. Faith just becomes a fact. You know within yourself, you know that you know that that's it. I remember when I got saved, I was a heroin addict. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ and He took it, gave me His back. I was sitting in a car outside a gym on a Wednesday night in July 1995. And the stronghold in my mind was that you're going to be a junkie until you die, and that's probably not going to be for long. You know, you've probably not got long left. That was my stronghold. That was it, man. I've messed up. All of a sudden, faith just came alive in me. People had been speaking the word of God to me. God's grace had been working on me, preparing me, and people started speaking the word of God to me, and faith just rose up, and I prayed and said, Jesus, if you're real, and I believe you are, come and change my life. Break my addiction, and I will serve you forever. And you know what? All of a sudden, that faith became a fact. And even though I was still a drug addict, naturally, I wasn't eternally anymore. And I knew. Something had changed. Couldn't put my finger on it, didn't know how it was going to work out. And even though it's not for us to have to work it out by ourselves, God works in us to will and to do according to His good purpose, and Him working in us works it out of us. And all we have to do is just say, God, I got a problem, can't deal with it, but I believe you can. And He says, that's all I want, that's all I need. My grace is enough. My strength is perfected in your weakness. Let's do it. And what is faith all of a sudden becomes a fact. It is done. And I believe today is a day such as that. Do you believe it? Turn around and just give someone a hug right now. Tell them it's great to be in this place today. It's good to see the new you. It is good to see the new you. Welcome. Let me introduce myself. Come on, turn around to someone else. Say, I am the new me. Hallelujah. This is me. It's great to meet you. You've never seen me like this before. Great to see you guys. You're looking brand new. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take our seats. I'm excited. Is anyone excited in the house? Yes. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. You know, sometimes you just do something radical, and it's what God's been waiting for you to do. You just step out. Last week was preaching, and you know, really preaching hard. It was hard for me to preach last week. I felt it was difficult. And I was preaching and, you know, trying to do my thing, and my throat was going. I was, you know, I had a cold coming on me. And I really want us to get as a church to a new level, a new place. I don't want us to revert back to where we were. I don't want to see people revert back to where they were. I want to see us go forward, take steps. I want to come into a time of peace and prosperity. Amen. We've had a lot of warfare for many years. I want a little bit of time of peace and prosperity. I want to grow on the level that we're at. Can someone say amen? But sometimes you have to fight to stay on that level, because you're there. He's lifted you to a new place, and then there's always something that's there trying to push you back down. Ever felt that? Ever felt like you've taken steps of faith? You're taking steps and you're stepping into somewhere, and there's something there going, no, I'm not going to let you come through. And you need to, sometimes we just shrink back into our little shell and we turn around. Maybe it's not my time. Maybe it's not right for me right now. Maybe I haven't got the goods. Maybe this is not where I'm meant to be. Maybe it's for someone else. No. No. No more. If God has put you in a position, if he's showing you things, if he's opened doors for you, if there are people around you that are confirming it to you, just because there is something standing in your way, a mountain or a stronghold or some sort of mad city or a giant. Remember what David did? He said, oh yeah, giant. You're trying to stand in the way, mocking my God, trying to stop the people going forward? I might just be a little shepherd boy, but how many of you know God's taught me some stuff? He's gave me some tools. They might not be the same tools you've got, but they're backed up by the living God himself. So if you want to come against me, understand you ain't coming against this. You ain't coming against flesh and blood. You are coming against the God who stands behind me. You are standing in front of my God. He's going to flatten you. And you step in, you step up, you go forward. Because there's always going to be stuff that tries to push you back down, crush you back down. Conform to our image. Be the way that we say. Don't mention Jesus, whatever you do. Don't pray out loud in case anyone hears you. Don't open your Bible on the bus just in case someone looks at you and thinks, oh, lunatic. Don't wear Christian t-shirts. Wear t-shirts that say affliction or addiction or lunatic, right? But how many of you know that God wants us to press through? He wants us to go forward. He wants us to get into the place that he has set aside for us and stay there. Someone say, stay there. But there's always stuff that comes and tries to get us to conform. And I'm not saying you don't need wisdom. You know, if you're in a workplace, you're there to work, right? We want to be a blessing to the people that are there. We want to be a testimony and a witness. If, you know, if God's got you in a place of work, you're not running around just preaching the gospel to everyone, right? If you've got to change your bedpan, change your bedpan. Pray in tongues, do what you got to do, right? If you're serving sausages, serve sausages, you know, in the name of the Lord. But you don't have to be, you know, flinging sausages at people. Take that, you sinner. Do you understand what I mean? Flipping a burger. You're there flipping a burger going, this is what God wants to do with your sinful soul. You need wisdom. Okay? But I'm talking about there needs to come a time when we press through and get into the place spiritually that God wants us to get to. If you could see yourself when you are glorified, right? If you could see me in my glorified body, you'd want to bow down and worship me. And if I could see you in your glorified body, I'd want to bow down and worship you. C.S. Lewis said about that. He said, if we can see people based upon their spiritual realities of where it is that they're going to end up, their destinations, you'd either want to bow down and worship them, so glorious would they seem, or you'd want to run away from them in horror, so terrible would their countenance be, or something like that. Whether you're in heaven or in hell, whether you're in God's will or you're not. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in God's will. Can someone say God's will? But there are strongholds. There are things that stand in our way. There are things that try and oppose us. Getting saved is the most amazing, freeing thing that can happen to anyone. Is there any redeemed, restored, renewed people in the house? Lift up your hand, wave it. Come on now, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Is there any saved people in the house? Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say Jesus. Jesus. Come on, we're in church right now. You can do that. Say I'm saved. I'm saved. I am what I am by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Yeah. It's amazing. But getting saved, it's just the beginning of a journey. That moment when you exchanged your sinfulness for Jesus' righteousness, that moment when you said, God, I can't do it, I'm getting out, I'm getting off, I can't do it, I don't want to do it, I am messed up, but I trust in you. I'm lost. I need to be found. I'm blind. I need to see. I'm broken. I'm doomed. I'm damned. And I need to be saved. God, I want to be saved. Please save me. And your faith rises up in response to the grace of God, and you receive that salvation, that moment. That's the beginning. And there's a great big process that has to come about. This is just the first stage of God's plan for our lives. And his plan is to conform us in our character and by his power into the image of Jesus Christ. So that we look like, speak like, think like, act like Jesus Christ. So, because in eternity, many of the things that we really hold on to right now, many of the things that we place of great importance in our lives right now, they have not got a place in eternity. Much of the things that we think that we need to do and we can't let go of and we bow down to have not got a place in eternity. Sometimes we carry about our rucksack full of troubles. We carry our rucksack full of attitudes. We put our attitude coat on. How many of you have got an attitude coat? Come on now. You get this big coat on, right, of attitudes. Well, if they say that, if they do this, and I'm not letting them do that, and I'm not going to let them say that to me, and who do they think they are? I'll have you killed. Right? And we hold on to it. Why? Because it was given to us many, many years ago, and we value it, and it's ours. And that's what strongholds are like. If we don't catch the fact that God wants to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, and that salvation is just a prayer that we say, and it's just a place that we come to once a week, if we don't understand that it is a life thing, and that there's change that's come in, that's due, that if we don't catch this, then we're going to allow too many areas of our lives to remain unchanged. And they're the areas that weigh you down, that drag you back, that hold you up, that stop you from becoming everything God wants you to become. They're the areas that you praise God and you're worshiping God, but you know that deep inside there's a problem, there's an issue, there's something that you can't really get to grips with. You don't understand why this is. They're strongholds. We need to understand that God wants to demolish these things. He wants to pull them down. He wants to remove them. He wants to sever them. He wants to snap them. He wants to shatter them. He wants to take them away. He wants to dispossess them. He wants to disinherit them. He wants to kick them out. He wants to get rid of them. And in their place, he wants to put something else back. He wants to put truth in, life in, freedom in, joy in, peace in, patience in, all of that stuff in, the Jesus stuff in. Pulling down strongholds is the demolition and removal of old ways of thinking so that the very presence of Jesus Christ can be manifest in us and through us. So what are strongholds? Paul the Apostle defines strongholds as any type of thinking that exalts itself, bigs itself up, places itself above the knowledge of God. When you do that, you give the enemy, the devil, the forces of darkness, you give them influence, security, a place of refuge within yourself. Check that out. You're taking it into your own life. You're letting the devil come into your own life, and you're actually giving him a room in your house. Imagine your worst enemy. I mean, if you've got some enemies. Come on now, wave your hands, it's all right. Amen, we've all got enemies. I've got enemies. Amen, if you ain't got enemies, then you probably ain't doing nothing worthwhile. Amen. I mean, if you've got some frenemies. You know, they're them friends that don't really help you out. I really like you, but every time I go with you, I always get in trouble. Oh yeah, we really get on well, but we always end up falling over, getting drunk, doing something stupid and getting in trouble, right? Imagine the worst person, shout out some really horrible people that really, really horrible people. Now let's get a picture of this thing. Shout out some really horrible, not the names of people, but types of people. Come on now, let's be real. Shout out some types of people. Horrible enemies that you would hate to have anything to do with. Some say the police. Who else? Come on. Come on. Huh? Terrorists. Okay. Come on. Hoodies. Bullies. Okay. Come on. Couple more. Come on. Huh? Pastors. All right. Yeah. Come on. Come on, one more. Shout it out. Scottish. No. Let's not be racist in the house. Come on now. Imagine getting, all right, let's take the worst one of that. Imagine getting a horrible terrorist, evil terrorist, right? And you actually give him your spare room to live in. And he's doing all his terrorist business, right? Building bombs and doing nonsense and doing nutty stuff based in your spare bedroom of your house. You're like, what? Shut up. There's no way I'd ever do that. But many of you know, strongholds are places of secure refuge that you let your very worst enemy, the devil and all of his minions and all of his people and all of his stuff, you let him take up residence within your mind, within your thinking, within your soul. And from there, he can do whatever he likes in your house. He's in. He's on the inside. Are you with me? That's a stronghold. It's a place of security and refuge, a fortress from which the enemy can fling fiery darts at you from the inside. Ooh. Strongholds. You know, when you're starting to get right with God and then that little thought comes, what's that all about? Who do they think they are? They want you to do what? They want you to give. You've got to stop doing this. You've got to give this up. What is this nonsense? Did God really say? And it's coming from within you. And you think it's you thinking it. When really and truly it's a stronghold. It is a house that has been built day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, in your life since you were first aware. It is a house built of lies. And it's in you. It's there. That's a stronghold. That's what Paul speaks of as a stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read it once again from the Message. Paul speaks about how do we deal with strongholds, what they are and how to deal with them. In the Message it says this. It said the world is unprincipled. How many of you can say amen? It's dog eat dog out there. How many of you can give a big amen? The world doesn't fight fair. How many of you can agree with that? But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. The preacher, evangelist, pastor Ed Silvoso, he defines a stronghold as a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept something that we know is contrary to the will of God. You know that it's not God hasn't said it, but you accept it and you empower it and you let it run rampant within your thinking, right? It's important to recognize that when we speak of strongholds, we're not talking about random thoughts or occasional sins. We're talking about areas in our lives that are under the control of something else. Another way of thinking, another mindset, another force, another power. That's what a stronghold is. And you can't break loose from it because it's like trying to kick out a squatter from your house. Amen. Has anyone ever had a squatter in their house? right? They come in, they squat. You can't do nothing about it under law. You have to encourage them to leave, right? If you had a squatter in your house, listen, there's a squatter comes in your house, he gets in, they ain't broken, they're in, man. And all of a sudden, they're in your house. This is my house. And you're in there with your feet up on my couch, drinking water from my tap. Are you with me? It's like, what is that? And what you want to do is, you want to go and get Old Testament on them. Amen? Give them the right hand of fellowship. Huh? Lay hands on them. Launch them out. But there are certain legalities that allow them to remain. They didn't break in. They got in unopposed. Right? They got in unopposed. That's a squatter. It's the difference between a squatter and a burglar. A burglar breaks in. A squatter just gets in without breaking any locks, breaking any windows, breaking any doors. You've either let them in and they've stayed, right? Or somehow you left the door unlocked and they just opened it and walked in. Can you start seeing the pattern? Can you start seeing the picture? Can you start seeing the correlation of how strongholds begin to be developed within our minds, within our thinking, and within our lives? The devil didn't break in. He didn't do it by force. You let him in. And now he's in, he ain't getting out. And there are certain things that have to be done in order for that to get kicked out. Otherwise, it's just going to stay there and it's just going to get locked into your house and it's going to be living off you and telling you what to do and running you around ragged. And you think it's just you that you're so messed up. Well, you are, but guaranteed there's some sort of stronghold that is at work within your life, and it started working in your life probably when you was a kid, or at a time when you were vulnerable, or when you were sleeping, or whether you weren't aware of what was going on, or when you took your eye off the ball, or when you listened to the wrong information and you accepted it in and you allowed it to come in. And now it's taken up residence, it's parked up within your life. Now you're an alcoholic, now you're a drug addict, now you're messed up, now you're depressed. Not all depression needs a pill. Amen. Some depression needs a pill if it's caused by a chemical imbalance. Most depression, it needs something else. It's a malady of the soul. It needs something else. It needs to have a shift. And more often than not, it's a spiritual thing that needs to take place. And I'm talking of someone that was a depressive for many, many years of my life. Strongholds are built by lies building up within our lives. Most strongholds are a result of an accumulation of these lies. Uncrucified thoughts, unsanctified attitudes, things that have ruled our lives for many, many years, things that came in our BC days, things that, how many of you, now you're saved, you see the world with different eyes. Come on now, you look at things in a different way. Back in the day, it was, I've got to take what I can. Now it's, I've got to give what I can. Back in the day, it was, I need to crush you, I need to climb the ladder of success. Now it's, I need to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Now you're looking at, before you was looking at everyone as an enemy, they hate me. Now you're even looking at your enemies and loving them. Come on now, because there's a change in your emphasis, in your attitudes, in your mindset. But there are still some things that remain. There are still some things that are holding us back, that are blocking us. And these things began as unsanctified, uncrucified thoughts. And that's how they remain right now. Sometimes we don't know they're there, slippery little things. Sometimes they're just in there and we can't recognize them because we think it's us. And so whenever anyone comes and they point them out to us, we defend them as if it's we're defending ourselves. Oh, come on now. Someone say, ouch, pastor. Someone says to you, you're in pride. You're like, I ain't in pride. Who do you think you are? Woo. Huh? Someone says to you, listen, I think you're bound by fear. What do you mean? Who said that? Huh? And all of these things, and what it is, we think it's us. Because it is so close to us. Because it's in us. There's a difference between someone shouting outside your house and someone shouting in your house, isn't there? When someone's shouting up about outside the house, how many of you go to the window and have a little look? Who is that outside? Group of kids. What are they doing? How's my car? You ever do that? I'm a nightmare for that. Oh yeah, kids go past my house. I'm out the window. When my kids are shouting inside the house, I'm just like, well, it's just me kids. So sometimes these thoughts, if these thoughts came at you from outside now, you'd probably dismiss them. Come on, big yourself up. Put yourself at the front. Come on, shrink back, you worm. You'd be like, what? I ain't a worm. But when it's coming from inside, I'm a worm. Are you getting me? I can't do that. I'm not special. I'm not loved. People don't like me. I'm not charismatic enough. I'm not loved enough. I'm not liked enough. I'm not. And you're saying I, but really and truly, it ain't you. It's this lying little thing that's lodged inside of your life. And he's on the inside shouting and screaming and doing all this stuff. And you're not taking any notice of it because it's coming from within and not from without. Does that make sense to anyone? Wave your hand if this is making sense to you right now. These are strongholds. As children growing up, we live in a world that's under the influence of the evil one. How many of you know that? The whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Jesus controls the world. He's the king. He's won the victory. He's got it all back. But we still live in time and there's still some stuff that has to play out. There's still corruption and all that. God ain't going to clean up this world. He's going to deal with it. He's going to get rid of it. He's going to burn it. He's going to make a new one. Amen. And we're going to have new bodies, glorified bodies. He ain't just going to get you on, you know, when you get up there in the clouds on that day, he ain't going to have you running up and down the clouds trying to burn the fat off so you get a six pack. He's just going to give you a six pack. You're going to get a spiritual six pack. You're going to have a glorified body. He ain't just going to pinch you. You ain't going to go before the angel and they're going to start measuring you and all that. Oh, body mass index. All right, this one can do 10 laps of the heavens. No eating, you know, manna for you. Ain't going to work like that. Thank God. Hallelujah. But at the moment, the world is still, much of the world is under the sway of the evil one. And when we grow up under that influence, we receive a consistent stream of information. We have experiences continually that shape our perceptions, that shape our mindsets. Are you with me? You get told, children now are getting told that, you know, well, the fish became a bird and the bird became a wolf. You know what I mean? It's like, shut up. Where is the evidence for that? But they're pumping it into kids. The earth is billions and billions of years old because of rock formation and all the rest of it. And there's all sorts of stuff when you look into it as an adult and you really look into it, you're like, shut up, that's nonsense. What is that all about? Well, life came from an amoebic soup. All right, well, where did the amoebic soup come from? Life appeared. From where? Well, it just appeared. Like dynamo or something. It's life. Pull it out of his sleeve. Are you with me? But as kids, they're taught that stuff, right? You see it on TV. We have this thing right now where our kids are watching lots of, you know, when we allow them to, they're watching different programs. And some of the programs, man, if you're not careful, next thing, you know what I mean? I'm looking at Lily. She's walking about in a mini skirt with her mum's heels on, lipstick all over her face, right? And that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but when they're starting to get conscious about their looks based upon something they've seen and information they've received, and my nose is too big, my ears are too big, my hair's not the right type of hair, you know what I mean? My bum's too big, my this is too big, I'm too fat, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not this enough. Information is coming in that is building strongholds within their little lives. And I don't know about you, but there's many, many different strongholds that are built in their lives. When I was a kid, man, we was kicked out. In the summer holidays, in the morning, that was it. You wake up, you have a glass of orange juice and a bit of toast, and then you're out on your bike for the rest of the day. drinking water out of taps in the park and doing all sorts of stuff, climbing trees. We never had a helmet and knee pads and all those things. Come on now. We was out there buying sweets and eating the, you know, them little bits of chips that was left over when all the chips were gone. You know, the little bits that were just left there in the fat, in the batter, you know what I mean? All them little crispy bits that are really unhealthy. And we was eating that. E-numbers. And we was running it off and riding it off. We weren't big. We weren't overweight. We weren't this. We fell. We cut our knees. We banged our heads. We did this. We did that. But you wouldn't back chat someone else's mum. Come on now. You want to back chat your teacher like some of you teachers get back chatted right now. Pop! You get the hockey boot. Come on now. You get the stick. Whap! Right? Now, the headmaster takes the teacher in the room, beats him with a stick. All of these influences that are coming that are so subtle. Things that you grew up with. Some of you that come from a different ethnicity to the general ethnicity of this country, in other words, you're black. Right? You might have been brought up with racism. I personally don't understand racism because I come from the East End of London and I was an ethnic minority. I had Asian friends. I had black friends, Jamaican friends. In fact, that's why I like Jamaican food so much. Because my mate Ken used to take me round his mum's house and we used to go round there and we would be eating dumpling and we'd be nicking the chicken and, you know what I mean? Huh? Now I've got African friends, my goodness, pepper soup, jollof rice, get in! But you might not have had that experience. And therefore, some things start to develop, some strongholds start to develop. Sometimes there's an inferiority thing. Sometimes there's a superiority thing. I ain't going to let anyone talk to me like that again. I'm going to rise above and I'm going to look down on all you and I'm going to get my own back. And so there's all of these strongholds that can develop. Amen. I know white people in the East End of London that feel racially abused by black people. Because in their thinking, in their strongholds, they're white, so they're last on the list for an house. If you're an Eastern European, if you're an African, if you're from some other country, you're first on the list, bang. But if you're white, you was born in Britain, you don't get nothing. Strongholds. But the black people are like the white people, get everything. Strongholds. The young people are like, we don't get nothing. Strongholds. The old people are like the young people, get away with everything. Strongholds. And they build. And as we allow them to remain, their power increases. And it works subtly. And it works unnoticed. And it works inside of us. We listen to our teachers, we listen to our parents, we listen to our uncles and our aunts and our grandparents as we were growing up, and they inputted and put things into us. And some of the things that they put into us was okay. But if they weren't saved, much of what they were telling us, if it wasn't just of a practical nature, if it was anything to do with worldview, if it was anything to do with destiny, if it was anything to do with sometimes identity, if they weren't saved, they were unsanctified and their thinking was uncrucified, then what they were inputting into us was wrong. And so here we are believing that we have to be like this, we have to do that, we have to put this in place to ever be anyone in the world. Strongholds begin to develop. Many of our opinions about life are ours only because we know of no other way to think. So even if you got rid of that stronghold, what are you going to do? I was a drug addict for 10 years. To the end of that 10 years, it got to the point, and I know many people that have been like this, where it was consistently pushed into us, you're a junkie now, that's it, you're never going to get off. You know, even well-meaning secular agencies and different things, you know, the ones that say they're anonymous, God bless them, and then ask you to tell everyone what your name is and what drug you've been taking. It's like, how anonymous is that? You know what I mean? Nothing against what they do, but strongholds were developing. You're never going to recover. You're always going to be the same. Nothing's ever going to change. And I was thinking, if I get away from drugs and this lifestyle and the friends and the feelings and everything else, what else is there? This is what I know. I don't know what else to do. I got no footprints. I got no one in front of me. I got no one that's leading the way. I got no one showing me what I could become. Till I came here. Till I came to Victory Outreach. I said, till I come to Victory Outreach. And I started to see other men and other women that had been in the same place that I'd been, and they'd got beyond where I'd got, and that they had a pathway that I could walk in. There were footsteps that I could walk in. There were ex-mafia assassins that had become ministers of the gospel. There were ex-drug addicts that had become pastors. There were people that had been messed up and bound and broken from broken homes and degrading circumstances, that all of a sudden they were there glowing and shining. They were singing on the worship team. They'd been prostitutes. They'd been depressed people. They'd been messed up. They'd had series of relationships. They'd been beaten. They'd been abused. But they knew Jesus Christ, and things had changed, and they weren't thinking the same. They weren't speaking the same. They weren't acting the same. And all of a sudden, I started to recognize that some of the ways I was thinking weren't in line with the way that God was saying to me that I should be living and I should be thinking. So all of a sudden, I started to realize that some of these things that I've been defending and holding on to, they were lies. I'd been mugged off. I'd been messed up. I'd been lied to. These things that were in me, the way that I was thinking, that is not how it's meant to be. But I didn't realize that for a long time because I didn't know any other way to live. I had no access to any other information. Oh, but now that you're born again, sometimes these things are in us and we don't realize. Sometimes God lets them lay dormant for a while until there's a particular time, until there's the right time, until you're able, mature enough, in the right place to deal with them. And then all of a sudden, he highlights something within you and he says, that thing is holding you back. That does not need to be there anymore. Get rid of it. Kick it out. Dispossess it. That's where some of you are at. That's where many of you are at in this place. You're in the place where you thought it was you. You thought this was how it was meant to be. You thought this was what life was going to be, going to have in store for you because of strongholds. Proverbs 23:7, the last part of it says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Without taking that out of context, it speaks of this. Who we are today, the essence of our being, is really influenced by our thinking. Amen? When you think a positive thought, positive hormones are released in your body. They have a positive effect. When you think a negative thought, negative hormones are released in your body. And they have a negative effect. This happens, neuroscientists are coming up with this information all the time. They're recognizing different neural bridges, neural trees, all sorts of stuff. They're doing all sorts of empirical tests on it, and it goes back to what the Word of God says. That we need to transform our minds, transform our thinking. Because as you start to transform your thinking and you get in line with the Creator of the universe, all of a sudden the rest of your life's going to fall into place. You're going to be free. You're not going to have to go through all them nutty motions. You're not going to have to go through all that pain and heartache. Yeah, there's going to be trouble in the world. But Jesus said, cheer up, I've overcome the world. Don't worry about that. There's stuff you've got to go through, but it's not self-inflicted. It's coming from without and not from within. Hallelujah. I'd rather face my enemy outside than try and beat myself up inside. Come on now. And too many of you have been beating yourself up for something that is within you that shouldn't stay in you any longer. There's enough enemies out there without you beating yourself up that I'm useless, I keep failing, I ain't no good, I'm never going to amount to anything, I'm not clever enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm too weak, I'm too fearful, I'm too cynical, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too whatever, I don't want to be like that. And you're beating yourself up all the time. And what you need to do is stop beating yourself up and just kick that thing out. Serve it notice, kick it out. See, the thing with a squatter is, once you serve it notice, it's got a time limit to get out. But then it must get out. If you just let it be there, it ain't got to go nowhere. Today's demolition day. Some examples of strongholds, and Christians have these. Some people try and say they're demons. They ain't demons. If you're born again, you ain't got a demon living inside of you. That's nonsense. Kick that one out straight away. Holy Spirit ain't going to park up with no one else. If he owns the establishment, he owns the establishment. Can someone say amen? Come on now. But you might have a little stronghold in there. There might be a room where someone's got his possessions inside that place. Amen. And they might be stinking. There might be something in there. They might have left drugs in there. They might have left something in there. They might have left porn in there. Are you with me? They're not in there. But some of their stuff's been left in there. And that's cool. Because the Holy Spirit, he owns the gaff. He's going to go around cleaning it up room by room. Some of the things that are very common to Christians. Fear. I said that. Some of you went, ooh. Resentment. Just resent. I resent you saying that. I resent the way that I'm being treated. Bitterness. Ugh. And that goes with unforgiveness. Ugh. Someone's done something to you and you've drunk the poison and you're waiting for them to die. You watch. You've done that to me. You watch this. You see this poison? I'll show you. Apathy. Some of you don't care about that one. You're like, whatever. Unbelief. Depression. Anxiety. Lukewarmness. You're not in, you're not out. You're doing a spiritual okey-cokey. One Sunday you put your left leg in, and then you take your left leg out. The next Sunday you put your right leg in, you take your right leg out. Sinful thoughts. Lust. Pride. Greed. You've always got to take that bit more. Drugs, alcohol, pornography. And the thing is, these are our thoughts. They're our attitudes. They're in us. And we defend them. When anyone tries to pinpoint them, poke them, touch them, highlight them. Because we think that that's us. We're blinded. We're blindsided. And therefore, before any deliverance can truly be seen, before you can ever get set free, you've got to honestly recognize what the need is. You've got to know that there's a problem. Some of you are racist. You're racist, man. Some of you are sexist. Some of you, you're prideful. See how I'm doing that? Right now, some of you, you're going, no, I'm not. Who do you think he is? He's a white bloke telling me I'm racist. You're defending it because you think it's you. But it's something that's holding you back. You got fear, depression, hopelessness. But today is demolition day. I'm going to give you some demolition principles, and then we're going to pray. You're going to come to the altar. We're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe the power of God to come upon you. We're going to pray in agreement with you that these things are going to come down, that you're going to take them captive and do all the things that we're going to say now. Demolition day principles. 2 Corinthians that we read, verse 10 through 3 through 5, gives us three important things that help us to tear down strongholds. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Firstly, you need to understand that something needs to be done. Something that is hindering you needs to be pulled down. Is anyone understanding that right now? Give me an amen. Amen. Secondly, we do that by getting a hold of these negative lying thoughts and measuring them against the word of God. What does God say about this thing? If God says something different, then I've got to go with God. I can't go with how I feel, how I think, whether I believe it, you know, with all of my being. If God says different, God's word wins. Until we come to that place, then the stronghold will remain. But when you get a hold of that negative lying thought, that label, that horrible thing, and that is opposing you, that is blocking you, and until you can get it and say, listen, I'm going to believe what God says instead of this thing, you're going to struggle. And then the third thing is, the most important thing is then to do what the Bible says. Do it, action it, put it into practice. Actually step out, see it come to pass, do it. Put off that thing, pick up that thing, take on that mindset, believe it, empower it, speak it, confess it. Keep saying it, pray it, read it until you get it. Read it till you get a hold of it. Read it, speak it, pray it, confess it, praise it, worship with it until it gets a hold of you. Until that truth starts shaking you about and you know that it's the truth. Until you get so familiar with that truth. You know people that test money, right? In the mint, they can tell a snide note just by touching it. You know why? Because they what they do is they train by just running real money through their fingers. That's real. And then when something's different, they go snide. They recognize the fake because they're so familiar with the real. And sometimes you've got strongholds, you don't read the word of God, you don't pray it through, you don't get a hold of it, and when you do, you don't do what it says. Change that and your life will change. Four steps to the new you. Things to recognize and things to realize. I want the worship team to come back. Things to recognize and things to realize. In fact, let's all stand while I do this. Things to recognize and things to realize. Four steps to the new you. Number one, recognize that you have a problem and identify what it is. Recognize that you have a problem and identify what it is. Be honest, be truthful. There's no shame, there's no guilt in being set free from something. Can someone say amen? The realization comes then that I don't have to be like this anymore. You recognize and realize how you are and what your problem is, and then you realize I don't have to be like this anymore. That's the truth that God gives us. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. He didn't die so that you would remain in bondage. And once you recognize what that thing is, you can realize I don't have to stay like it. I remember the day I got saved, I recognized I was a bound, horrible drug addict. I knew that. No one had to tell me I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. But someone gave me the good news, and the realization came that I did not have to stay like it. That was the first step. The second thing is repent of it. Change the way you think about it. It might be so familiar to you, that fear, that drug, that porn, that lie, that lust, that anger. It might be so familiar to you that you think that, what am I going to do without it? It's almost like you stroke it like a pet, or you treat it like a lover. And really and truly, it's just stabbing you and destroying you and blocking you and stopping you and piercing you and mocking you. Repent of it. Hold up a minute. You're not right. You're wrong. You don't love me. It's like the woman who wakes up one day when her boyfriend's been beating her month in, month out. She wakes up one day and realizes, you don't love me. The lie was, I'm only doing this to you because I love you. One day you realize, hold up a minute, that's not the truth. That's a lie. And you turn away from that and you look at it in the eyes. That's repentance. The realization of this one is that when you repent, all of a sudden the realization that God wants you to see is, I don't have to make it happen. I just have to let it happen. When I've repented, and I've turned away from him. The intimidation comes and says, I'm going to get you back. And you're like, I can't fight you off. I've been afraid of you for so long. But you then get out of the way. You say, I don't have to deal with this. I've turned to God. God's going to deal with this one. It's like that abused woman that all of a sudden, she turns away from that abusive man and she's like, I've never been able to get away from him before. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, in steps someone else. Yeah, bully, what are you going to do with me? Someone comes in and saves the day. And that person's Jesus. And he comes in and he says, this thing that you've been fighting with for so long, that's been in you for so long, that you don't want any more to do with, it's okay. I've just been waiting for you to let me loose on it. And I'm going to smash it. I'm going to crush it. I'm going to dispossess it. I'm going to remove it from your life and it will not come back. The fourth thing, after you've recognized, after you've repented, is then you begin to renew your mind and your thought processes by learning and applying what the Word of God says about everything. Because God's Word speaks into our lives in any and every situation. And he starts to renew. The new stuff is being inputted and it is eternal. It is glorious. It is wonderful. It is freeing. It is amazing. Wow. The realization comes, I can change right now, today. Listen, in 1 year's time, you would have wished you'd have started today. In 1 year's time from today, you will either thank God that you did this today, or you will wish that you'd have done it today. Because that year is going to come. And you're going to look back, and that time is something you can never get back. The fourth thing then, when these things come, is to release praise and thanksgiving to God. Give him glory for the change. You might not understand it fully. You might not see it manifest itself fully right now, but thank him for it, that the faith has become a fact. And that what you have placed in his hands, he's going to hold it, he's going to shape it, he's going to mature it, he's going to breathe into it, life is going to come from it. And you are going to be who he says that you are. And if he says you're his daughter, then you're his daughter. You ain't a cast off. You're not a prostitute. You're not useless. You're not this, you're not that. If he says you're his son, then you're his son. You're not a waster. You're not a good for nothing. Lift up your hands. You don't have to live that way anymore. For some of you, these things are big. For some of you, there's little foxes. But how many of you know the Bible says that even the little foxes can spoil the vine? Some of you, you might not be in lust, but you're very proud of that. And you look at someone else who falls and you say, I'm glad I'm not like him. And you then become like the Pharisee in the parable when Jesus was speaking about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus said, which one of these is best? There was a Pharisee that was standing there, holding his head up, puffing his chest out, saying, I fast twice a week and tithe a tenth of all my mint and rue, he says. And I thank you, God, that I'm not like him over there, pointing to a tax collector. And there was an old tax collector over there that couldn't even lift his eyes, but was looking down on the ground and just crying out and saying, God, have mercy to me, a sinner. Jesus said, which one of these went away justified? Sometimes you can have a stronghold of pride that stops you from getting to the level that you believe you should be at. And it's not even the devil that's opposing you, it's God. We had a guy once, he was a tremendous singer, really excellent voice. He couldn't break into the worship team. And he would moan about it, complain about it, he would moan to everyone, he would pull the leadership down. How many of you know, whenever anyone pulls a leadership down, they've got a stronghold? Probably pride. Probably they're unteachable. Whatever it is, it's poisonous and it's no good. You might have had people speaking to you about me and telling you I'm bad and I'm this and I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, they got a stronghold. This guy, he couldn't break into the worship team, and what he used to say was, everyone's coming against me all the time. These people come against me. The leaders won't let me do it. These people won't do it. They won't let me do it. This won't let me do it. One day, he was speaking to me and moaning at me, and I just get bugged when people moaning at me about leaders. Especially when they're the ones that I can see are not doing the right thing. One day, the Spirit of God just come on me, and he was going, this person's opposing me, and that person. I said, listen. I said, they're not coming against you. They're not stopping you. He said, what do you mean? He said, who is? I said, God. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And you're not getting in a position that you think you should be because you're so full of yourself, there ain't enough room left for God to get any glory out of what you do. Anyone with a spirit of fear. That fear stops you from taking any type of risk. It stops you from moving forward. It stops you from coming out of your comfort zone. It stops you from taking steps of improvement. You know you could do a course, but you're afraid of going there and being surrounded by people that you think are better than you. So you stay in that position, you stay in that place, you stay on that level. That's not God's plan for your life. Some of you that are depressed, the reason why you're depressed is not because you have a thyroid problem, a chemical imbalance. It's not because your serotonin, your dopamine, your endorphins are not working properly or whatever. It's not because you have a screw loose. It's not because of anything like that. It's because you have no hope. You think that things are always going to be like this. And you can't face life being the same forever. You can't face your situation and circumstance staying the same forever. And it leads you into depression. You go into a dark place. You pull yourself away from life. You try to isolate yourself away. Listen, it's a lie. I'm here to smash that right now in the name of Jesus and tell you that the end of the thing is not the same as the beginning, it's better. God tells us if we're in him, we love him, that it works out good in the end. So if it ain't good yet, it ain't the end yet. It means that there's still some good that's still to come. God's still working in your life. Just trust him and let him into your life. Let him into that place. Let him come in and show you who it is that he says you are, and then let him show you what it is that he wants you to do. Listen, I was single as a Christian, as a pastor for 7 years. 7 years after I got saved, I was single. I used to see people getting married left, right and center all around me. And let me tell you, I wasn't always saved. So when I got saved, I wasn't a virgin. Let me say that. I'd had relationships, right? So now all of a sudden I'm saved and I'm like, what's going on here, man? Am I going to be celibate? What is this? Has God called me to be celibate? Everyone's getting married except me. God, if I'm celibate, then send me to the cannibals or something. Let me get it over with quick. And I started getting depressed and I was hopeless. I was like, God, is this how it's always going to be? I'm always going to be the one left on the shelf. I'm going to be the one that no one likes, no one comes near, or the one that no one is the right one for, or I don't like any of them. I'm sorry, God, but they're ugly to me. Gotta be real, right? Well, I thank God I got the most beautiful partner in life, soulmate now that ever. Don't clap. It's a fact. It ain't gonna be the same forever. where you're at now is not where you're going to be in the future. Change can begin right now, today. It can shift. If someone in this place, you're a consistent failure. You fail at everything you do. And you're afraid now to take a step to do that thing again that's going to release you. Maybe it's taking your driving test. Maybe it's taking a course. Maybe it's whatever it is. You fail. And you think you're a failure. You're not a failure. You just failed. Failure is an event. It's not you. You just failed. The greatest successes in life are the ones that have probably failed more than the failures. Because the success never stops trying. Until one day failure becomes a memory and success becomes a reality. Do it again. Next time you're going to succeed. Someone else in this place, you think that your day is done. You're too old. You've gone too far. There's nothing left for you. You're not in the right position. There's no ministry left for you. You don't know why. Maybe it's because you've had kids or you're single or whatever it is. You think that there's no place for me. There's nothing for me. Let me tell you right now, I'm here to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell. God wants to use your life. If you are here, you have breath in your lungs. You have words that you can speak. If your hands can lift in glory and adoration to the King of Kings, if the word of God is able to be understood and absorbed by you, then there is still a place for you. There is still room for you. God still wants to use you. His spirit still wants to fill you. His word still wants to flow through you. That there is going to be an anointing that flows from you. Some of you, man, you just need to know that the anointing of God can break every yoke. The doctors have said you're never going to change. Jesus, the great physician, says, I could change you in a minute. He says, I died for you. I paid the price for you. I redeemed you. And whoever I set free is truly free. If I set you free, you're free. No longer bound. You might have unforgiveness. Listen, you don't have to deal with the person and what they've done. You leave that to God. You just need to cut them loose so they stop affecting you. They did it years ago and it's still affecting you today. Cut that thing loose. Forgive them. Launch them off. Let them float away in the distance. It weren't your fault, but why keep playing it over and over and over again? Let God deal with that thing and let you know that you are free, that you're all right. Come to the altar right now if you want God to do something in your life. Come, let's sing.